the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Good morning. I'd like to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. What a beautiful morning for Mother's Day. Let's go to God in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, this beautiful morning. We thank you, Father, as we look around your creation that we see new life and things beginning. Father, as we come to worship here today, we pray that your presence would be with us. We pray that your guidance would be with us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help each and every one of us to have a closer, meaningful relationship with you. Father, we just thank you for all the things that you do for us. And we pray that you be with us, each and every one of us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jesus' death was unique. It was premeditated by evil, but more importantly, it was allowed by God. He allowed himself to die, but he did not take his own life. He was executed as a criminal, but he was innocent. He was a Jew, but he died as a result of a Roman punishment. He was one man, but he died for all of us. God had a purpose in permitting his son to die on the cross. Such a death, such suffering, such shame. Only an action that brought about the results of eternal life for all of mankind would be worth permitting this tragedy. Jesus died for the redemption of man. The perfect Lamb took our place, took all of our sins on himself. His sacrifice allowed for the atonement of man's sin and showed the extent of God's love for us. Christ's body was laid in the grave, but he did not stay there. Morning came on the first day of the week, and the grave was empty. It was a dawn of a new week, a dawn of a new hope, and a dawn of a new salvation for man. The table before us represents our hope in resurrection. In communion, we look backwards to the cross, but also forward to the time when Christ will come. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us bow our heads. Father in heaven, we come around your table remembering that great sacrifice that Christ paid for each and every one of us. We just pray, Father, as we come before you, that we do it in a humble manner. We thank you, Father, for the gift of life that we have through your Son, and we pray that you be with each and every one of us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Morning, folks. It's a nice Mother's Day. You know, we haven't had a nice Mother's Day in like 10 years or longer. So it's a great day to meet. Please look over the bulletin if you would, number of announcements. Please check the bulletin board. We have a number of sign-up lists. We have a banquet coming up on the 22nd, a barbecue. I'd love to have you sign up and join us for that. And we'd like you to sign up just so we have an idea of how many to set up for. But there's also items to bring for that. Our walk through the Bible events coming up on the 21st. I think we have 108 people signed up to participate in that right now. We'd love to have you do that. You'll learn in 3 hours from 9 to noon, you'll learn more about the Old Testament probably than you have. You'll be able to put it all together. It just fits together nicely. So hope you will join us for that on the 21st. Graduate Sunday is coming up, and if you have anybody graduating from college or high school, please get us their pictures, their names, so we can get them into the bulletin, and we'll be recognizing our graduates during the second service on the 22nd. So please take note of that. Look at the prayer list, if you would, and please add to your prayer list Connie Robinson. She'll be having knee replacement surgery tomorrow in Salem, so add Connie to your prayer list there. And also the family of Dorothy Hughes. Dorothy had been in the nursing home for a couple years here, but she passed away this last week. So calling ours tomorrow, Van Dyke Swaney, and then the funeral tomorrow night at 7. So please be keeping her family in your prayers. Let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. Just before I preach, I want you to watch this small, short video.
I'm so bored. I wish I had something to do. if you make a mess in the kitchen, please let me know so I can clean it up.
Raising kids is so easy.
I just love driving around all day. Oh, I never have to repeat myself. They always listen so carefully.
Oh, look! An empty box of cereal.
Love it! Just wipe it out of your sleeve.
It's pretty cold, but you don't need a coat.
Oh, you don't have to push in your chair.
Don't make your bed. You're just gonna sleep in it again later.
I think I'll skip the coffee today.
You know, these throw pillows look way better on the floor.
I'm really not that busy. Well, you haven't showered in 3 days, but I think you smell great.
We do have food at home, but let's just go out to eat. Just brush your teeth whenever you feel like it. Here, take my phone charger and go put it in your room.
Oh, just leave your dirty dishes on the counter.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's all pull out our phones. Youth sports are so cheap.
Braces are so cheap.
School fees are so cheap. Hey, can you come crawl in bed with me around 2 a.m.? Thanks.
Okay, I just spent 2 hours making dinner, but if you don't like it, that's fine. Just let me know and I'll make you something else.
Don't even bother looking for that. I'm sure it's lost and gone forever.
Can somebody please throw something at my head? I mean, I can't keep track of every single one of your things.
I get a ton of sleep.
I get a ton of gratitude from my children.
I get a ton of unsolicited help with the housework.
Oh, you don't have to hurry up. We're gonna be right on time. Can someone please throw something at the TV? Thanks for doing the laundry, everyone.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you use your outside voice?
Ah, fight! Fight! Fight!
The floor of this vehicle is so clean, I can't believe it.
Oh, good. Another trip to the grocery store today. Let's go. Hey, I'm gonna hop in the shower. Does somebody want to come use the bathroom while I'm in here?
It's a funny video, and we would agree, we don't hear Mom say things like that, do we? But there are some things that Mom does say. I was reading a blog this week, and the preacher in the blog asked people, he said on his Facebook friends, to finish this sentence, "My mother always said." And he said there were the standard responses that are basically passed down from generation to generation. Like, my mom always said, "Don't make me get your dad." Any of your mothers ever say that? "You heard me twice the first time." "Stand up straight." "Chew with your mouth shut. Your face will freeze that way." One person wrote, "Mom always said, I brought you into this world, I can take you out." Any of your mothers say that? You can probably remember some of those things because they were repeated often. The preacher said he was surprised at the number of people who finished the sentence, "My mother always said," with a word of criticism. But he said that wasn't the case of most people. Most people had, their mother had said some types of words of encouragement. "There's nothing you can do that will change how I feel about you. You can do anything you set your mind to. You're as beautiful on the inside as you are on the outside. You get prettier every day. God's going to do something big with you, I can tell. I will always be there for you." And one person wrote, "My mom always said," this was a son, he wrote, "My mom always said, you're going to be a great dad one day." So mothers, if you think your kids aren't hearing what you're saying, they are. Not only are they hearing, they are going to remember your words of criticism and your words of encouragement for decades to come. So, speak words of encouragement. Now, there are many mothers mentioned in the Bible. We start with Eve, of course, and we have Sarah and Jochebed, Hannah, Elizabeth, Mary, Eunice, and many, many more. But there's one woman, one mother that Jesus meets, and he has words of praise for her, but we don't know her name, but she teaches us a lesson about great faith. Story is found in Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed that very hour. Now I want to begin by simply making an observation. And that is, those often dismissed can have a faith God won't dismiss. Jesus is up in Tyre and Sidon in a region called Phoenicia. That's a Gentile area. That's not an area that Jesus usually traveled in. The Jewish people and the Jewish leaders basically hated the people in this area. They did their best not to travel there. And that's probably why Jesus was there at this point in time. Things had gotten a little hot for Jesus in Galilee. He had just fed the 5,000. Crowds of people were gathering around Jesus, following him. He just had an encounter with the Pharisees and teachers of the law. They were trying to trick him and trap him into saying something, and Jesus turned the tables on them, and they got embarrassed and angry. So the disciples came up to Jesus, and they said, you know, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were offended by what you said. So it seems like Jesus at this point in time is thinking, maybe I ought to leave town for a little bit. Maybe I ought to lay low for a little bit. In fact, Mark gives us some information that confirms that. Mark chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. You see, he didn't go there to do miracles. He didn't go there to be known. But Mark goes on, yet he could not keep his presence a secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. Now I want you to see that this poor woman had a lot going against her. Out of all the people in the Bible that you see approaching Jesus, no one had more strikes against her than this woman. First of all, Jesus did not go there to do miracles. He didn't go there to be noticed. He didn't go there to draw crowds. And if he did what this lady asked, people were going to know about it. Secondly, her gender was against her. She was living in a culture where women didn't count. So to get through to Jesus and have an audience wasn't easy. Her race was against her. She was a Canaanite. And as I said earlier, the Canaanites detested the Jews, and the Jews detested the Canaanites. And then the devil was against her. He had possessed her daughter. And Jesus' own disciples weren't excited about her either. They were complaining that this woman was bothering them with all her tears, and send her away. It even seems at first, seems odd to us, but even seems at first that Jesus doesn't want to listen to her. So you see, this is a woman that is easy to dismiss. But there's one thing about her you cannot dismiss, and that's her faith. She had great faith. Here's the point Matthew's trying to make. If this woman's faith, with all these strikes against her, can get God's attention, then your faith can get God's attention also. You can have the kind of faith, no matter your gender, no matter your race, no matter how much the devil seems to be against you, even at times when Jesus' own disciples don't seem to be listening, you can have a great faith that gets the attention of God. Now, I want to notice a few things about this woman's faith. First of all, I want you to see that it was motivated by desperation. I'm sure a lot of people in her community were upset with the fact that she went to Jesus, that she would go to a Jew to seek help. The disciples saw her as a nuisance, but she doesn't care. She needs help from Jesus. She's desperate at this point in time. She cares more about deliverance than she does about decorum. In the Old Testament times, God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah, and he said, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. And that's what this woman is doing here. See, I'm going to suggest to you today that most of us like God a lot. That's how we like God a lot. But we're just not desperate for him. God is a good guy. He's nice to have on our side when we need him. But we are not desperate for him. And I think one reason, I'm suggesting that's just one reason of many, why God allows circumstances to come into our lives that at times humble us. I think he allows that to happen, maybe so we will be desperate for him. to realize we're not self-sufficient. We need to go to the one who is all-sufficient. Paul learned this, and in 2 Corinthians he writes about it. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even life. Indeed, our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead." Great faith is usually found in people who don't think they are so great, but they understand how great God is. So, first of all, this woman's faith was motivated by desperation. Secondly, we see it demonstrated by persistence. This woman was not going to stop until God heard her. Have you ever ordered a magazine, and after having it only 2 or 3 months, they start sending you renewal notices? I mean, you're still 9 months away from when you need to renew it, but they start sending the notices right away. Well, I read about this guy in Powder Bluff, Colorado, who got, and it was a mistake, obviously, a computer glitch, but he got 9,374 notices in the mail that it was time to renew his subscription of National Geographic. He didn't even have a subscription to National Geographic. Anyhow, he put all that in his pickup truck. He took it down to the post office with his wallet. He said, "You need to take this. You need to take all these things, get rid of them for me, and contact this company and tell them I give up. I'm going to take their magazine." And that illustration just, it illustrates the power of what happens when we make a request more than once, when we're persistent. This woman keeps crying out. And what she does bothers the disciples. But because of her persistence, she finally gets this audience with Jesus. And even after she starts talking with Jesus, she has to still be persistent to get what she wants. You know, Jesus only told 2 parables about prayer. One about a neighbor in the middle of the night who needs to find some bread for an unexpected visitor. And the other one about a just judge. And both parables have the same point. Be persistent in prayer. Don't give up asking. Teenager decided to quit high school. His grades weren't good. He did not have a lot of friends. He did not think it was going to help him. He wasn't going to go to college. He had a job offer. Decided to quit high school. He's 18 years old. Dad could not stop him. So Dad said, "Son, don't quit. Don't quit." His son said, I don't have any choice, Dad. I'm going to have to quit." And he said, "Listen, all the people you remember in history are people who didn't quit. Think about Abe Lincoln. He didn't quit. Think about Benjamin Franklin. He didn't quit. Think about Douglas MacArthur. He didn't quit. Think about Elmore Kringle." And the son said, Elmore, who is that?" Dad said, "See, I told you, he quit." Great faith is a desperate faith. In a sense that it realizes that God and God alone is sufficient to meet our needs. And great faith is a persistent faith. It's a faith that doesn't give up. And I want you to see one more thing about her faith. Her faith was saturated with humility. When we first read this story, it kind of bothers us, because Jesus seems to not want to hear her, listen to her, have anything to do with her. And that's unusual, because Jesus is the one who is right there all the time for those who are down and out, those who are in need. These are the type of people he helps all the time. And yet it seems like, at first at least, he wants nothing to do with her. And there's no one more down and out at this time than this woman. He says at first, "I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel." But she kneels and she begs some more. And he says, "It is not right to take the children's bread and to toss it to their dogs." Now that seems harsh. Dogs was a term that the Jewish people used to describe the Gentiles. They're dogs, animals. And when this woman heard this, think about it. If you were in her place, what would you do? It's not right to toss the children's food to the dogs. I mean, you'd probably get angry. You might even yell, "I'm not a dog." And you might leave. But this woman's desperate. She's not going to leave. And I want you to understand, Jesus was doing two things here. He wasn't being mean to her. He was doing two things. First of all, he was pointing out God's plan. And God's plan is going first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. When God called Abraham all the way back, we read this in the book of Genesis. Abraham was the first Jew. He promised that through him and through his descendants, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. It was God's plan to bless the Gentiles, but he's going to do it through the Jewish nation. Jesus was a Jew. All the apostles were Jewish. At the very beginning, the early church was comprised of only Jews. But it was from the Jews that God spread the light, and the Gentiles became part of the church. So what Jesus was doing here at very first was pointing out his plan. Hey, this is how God's plan. I'm not going to the Gentiles right now. I'm going to the Jews. But secondly, I think that Jesus responded to this woman the way he did was so we could see her faith. Jesus knew her faith, but he wanted us to see her faith. You know, there are two English words that can be translated into the Greek from the Greek word dog. And the one word refers to that wild animal, a vicious animal, a dangerous animal. That's not the word Jesus used here. He used a word here that would be for a puppy or for a family pet. So when he called her a dog, that's kind of what he called her. But even if you have a pet that you love, you're not going to take your food away from your kids and give it to even the pet. But if there are some crumbs that fall on the floor, well, that's a different ball game. Even the dogs, she said, get to eat the crumbs from their master's table. In other words, when the woman said this, she was not challenging Jesus' words. She was not challenging God's plan. Oh, you got to change it. You got to talk to me. No, she wasn't doing that. She humbly said, couldn't you just throw some crumbs to the dog? And in response, Jesus said to her, you have great faith. Great faith is desperate. It understands that we need God. We're not self-sufficient. Great faith is persistent. It doesn't give up. And great faith is humble. It says, God, you don't owe me anything, but would you in your mercy and your grace toss me a crumb? And folks, if you have that kind of faith, that's the kind of faith that gets the attention of God. Now, you might not think anyone views you as great, but you can have a faith that God views as great. Now, quickly, just a few implications of great faith. Great faith diffuses doubts about God's goodness when circumstances suggest otherwise. Every one of you can think of a time in your life when you were just like this woman. You were in a situation that wasn't good. You were in need. And you prayed. And it seemed like God was ignoring you. You were asking, but God wasn't answering. And what faith is going to do is faith is going to believe even when for the moment reason isn't sure. Even when for the moment circumstances don't make sense, you don't give up on God because you have great faith. Heard a story about a little boy. The house caught on fire, and he was on the second story, and he tried to get downstairs, and he was yelling to his dad, and the flames are too big, and his dad yelled up, go up to the attic, go out to the roof, and you'll be able to jump off the roof, and I'll catch you. So the boy went up to the attic. He got to the edge, but the smoke was coming out of the second floor windows. He could not see his dad. He yelled to his dad and said, son, I can't see. I said, dad, I can't see you. And dad said, son, I'm down here. And he said, dad, I can't jump. I can't see you. And his dad said, it doesn't matter, son. I can see you. And that's all that matters. And sometimes your life seems dark and you can't see God working in that circumstance, in that event, in that situation. But it's at that time you need to believe that God can see you. Great faith diffuses doubt about God's goodness when circumstances suggest otherwise. And great faith refuses to let anyone but Jesus have the last word. I'll tell you one thing that happens to us a lot. We all get down on God because we get down on the church or we get down on some Christians. We don't like the way we've been treated by some of God's followers, by some of his disciples. That's what happened to this woman. The disciples did not treat her correctly. But I want to suggest to you, the problem is we put our faith in the wrong place. Your faith isn't supposed to be in Jesus' followers and other Christians. I mean, it's wonderful to have Christian friends. We need that. We as Christians should have special fellowship. But your faith isn't placed in other Christians. Other Christians fall. There are Christians who leave the faith. You all know people who were strong Christians who are no longer Christians. Your faith isn't supposed to be put in the preacher. Your faith is supposed to be put in the Savior, the risen Savior, not fallen people. If this woman had stopped when the disciples disappointed her, her daughter would have still been under the control of the devil. Great faith says, until God has spoken, the matter is not settled. And also, great faith infuses others with the power of God. It was because of this mother's faith that her daughter experienced the power of God. And she got deliverance from the devil's bondage. This woman's faith made a tremendous difference in her daughter's life. Listen, folks, moms, dads, grandparents, uncles, aunts, neighbors, those of you who know some young people, know some kids. If these kids you know are going to get to heaven, you need to do something about it. It was the faith of this woman, the action of this woman, that saved her daughter. As far as I know, she was there alone. There was no one there backing her up, no one there hugging her, no one there saying, you can do it. There was no one there encouraging her, no one there to help her. Her daughter was in the grip of Satan, and she was going to stay that way unless her mother did something about it. And it is your faith, it is your faith that makes the difference in the life of your children, of your grandchildren, of your nieces, of your nephews. Don't count on someone else leading them to Jesus. Years ago, James Hewitt told a story about a Mother's Day program at church. And the kids had a program, and they all lined up in the front of the sanctuary. And they all had memory verses they were to tell. And this little girl had practiced with her mother all week long her memory verse. And she knew it. She could say it forward or backwards. She was standing up there smiling, just had this bright smile on her face. Her mother was in the front row, just proud of her. And all the kids did their memory verses. When it got to her, she froze. She could not think of what her memory verse was. So she looked down at her mother, and her mother started mouthing the words to her. She couldn't read them. She couldn't understand it. And finally, her mother smiled and said loud enough for her daughter to hear and some others, I am the light of the world. And the big smile went on the girl's face. And she looked out to everybody and she said, my mother is the light of the world. Well, people laughed, you know, some smiled, but then they kind of got a little sober because they realized what the girl said was true. Mothers are, at least in the life of the children, the light of the world. So on this Mother's Day, mothers, if you have that opportunity, still have that opportunity, and grandparents and aunts and uncles and neighbors, be the light of the world for that child. Be the light of the world for that kid. And it doesn't have to stop with kids. You have a fellow employee that you work with. You have a neighbor. You have a friend. And you're the one who can make a difference. Let your persistent, humble, great faith make a difference in the life of those kids. Happy Mother's Day. Hope, if you're a mother here this morning, that you're going to have a great day with your family and your friends. And I know it's also a day that is difficult for many because there are mothers who are not here. And we want you to know that you're in our prayers. And God knows the difficulty that you're going through at this time also. We always like to give an invitation at the end of the service. It is our desire that everybody would be able to be a Christian and go to heaven. And the Bible says to accept Jesus, we need to have faith that leads us to repent of our sins and confess him, and then to be baptized into Christ so our sins can be forgiven, that we can be born again, that we can be part of God's family. If you need to make that decision to be baptized, there's no better day, no better time than right now. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. If you come forward, we can take your confession, and you can set an example for others as you are baptized into Christ this morning. So if you need to make that decision this morning, won't you do it? And if you're not quite ready, but you want to talk about it, maybe you want to do it later on this week, talk to me and we'll set a time up to do it then. Let's stand as we sing together.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.